address again here?
3382 West 31st. Is this the picture that you wanted?
Yeah, that was the one. That's great. Yeah, that's much better than the one he has. Excellent. You don't have a negative. Mm-hmm. No, I think Jack would have it, but his wife threw out all his old things. It's a little bit strange, so.
Yeah, Mom's throwing out pictures, and I'm just like.
Yeah. Valuable.
Well, she hasn't really thrown them out. She sent them back to the people that were in them. So she has these wonderful books of pictures that are 90% missing. So there's no sort of, you know, context or whatever.
Fast again. Anyway, let's start with. This is for you. Let's start back to the beginning. I remember you remembered some early things about Dunbar, you know, growing up. Just maybe you could just start. Did you go to school here?
Yeah, Kitchener.
Okay.
And my father actually had gone to Kitchener. My brother went to Kitchener.
Oh my goodness.
When I went to Bing, I had a Latin teacher, Miss Lawrence, who had taught my father.
Oh, for goodness.
She must have been just starting out then, and she was close to retirement when I had her.
Oh my goodness. What year did you have her?
In the 60s.
Kitchener. Can you remember anything about Kitchener particularly that I'm trying to get stories from different decades?
Nothing that would like to be of interest. I remember I did grade 2 in the wooden annex, which is still there. And that was the original building, as you probably know.
Right.
Did an accelerated program. There was a group of us did 3 years in too.
Okay.
I think that was sort of experimental at the time.
And they're still doing that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's a good program. Uh-huh. No, I don't have any particular memories of school at all. Mm-hmm.
Did you get anything you liked particularly, or you know, games you played in recess, or feeling maladjusted, whatever?
I can remember spinning around on the rails, you know, like hanging and going in circles on the rails. I don't know.
I
don't
know. It's a real blur to me too. I remember hopscotch and jacks. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if they had jacks.
Oh, and balls. The 7-Up was one of the games we played with the bouncing, the sort of lacrosse type ball.
Oh yes, I heard about that. 7-Up, it was called.
Mm-hmm. I have no recollection of how to play it. And then there was something called we played skipping rope, and then there was like a Chinese skipping rope. It was a stretchy thing. You wound around your legs and had to do various sequences with. I think it was just actually we had a bunch of elastic bands looped together for that one.
This is interesting. Is it just sort of invented there, you think?
I don't think so, because a friend's daughter in Calgary was showing me another version of it a few years ago. So I think it's been around. But yeah, two people would hold it, and then you sort of wrap your leg around. You have to jump up and down, and I don't know.
Sounds dangerous.
No.
Nobody fell.
Yeah, girls seem to play these little chant games. You know, they have rhymes and then they do the skipping or the balls or the
that,
and they have chants and songs to go with it.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
I can remember sports day.
Okay.
I remember winning third prize in a race and forgetting to get my ticket,
my
ribbon, and then going up and asking for it later and they didn't give it to me.
So. Oh, no. Oh, dear.
That's hardly worth writing down.
Oh, well, still.
Story that stays in my head, not from Kitchener, but from Dunbar, because we lived where Stons is now.
Uh-huh.
And there was a convenience store next door, which was run by a man named George. You probably know his last name by now.
Mm-hmm. I could look it up, but I didn't know his name.
And he lived in the back. It was a narrow little store. Mm-hmm. He lived in the back because he had a cot and probably a hot plate and an ice box or whatever. But my mother would send me with a note to get cigarettes for her. And she always told me to count the change, make sure I got the right change. And on the way back, I'd always count the change. I'd always have a penny too much. I never tweaked to this. And I'd go back and I'd say, George, you gave me too much change. And I'd give him his penny. And he'd say, oh, aren't you an honest little girl? And he'd give me a penny candy back.
Oh, for penny's sake. Oh, that's what it was for, of course.
Of course, yeah.
It's like,
but he was like a friend. He was, well, I mean, how old is an old man when you're five?
Right, yes.
You know, he was probably in his 60s or something.
Yes.
But he was delightful.
Oh, yeah. You don't remember the name of the convenience store. Somebody.
It was just George's. George's. Mm-hmm.
George's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all we ever called it. I have no idea what it was actually called.
It's so common. There, somebody I interviewed yesterday said there was a five and dime somewhere there. That was quite good. That wouldn't have been. It would down the block somewhere.
Yeah, I think that was even on the other side of the street.
Ah.
On the west side. I'm not sure, but yeah. Maybe, no, I'm not sure which side, but yeah, it was another block up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And there was a vacant lot, which must have been tiny, but it seemed huge. Mm-hmm. Right on the corner where Stong's is now, there was a garage that was no longer in use, I think. And behind it, so for halfway from the street to the lane, there was this huge vacant lot.
Oh.
With three apple trees and blackberries in it. So that was wonderful. That was where I played.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys would crawl through tunnels in the blackberries.
Oh my goodness.
And I'd climb up the apple trees and eat green apples till I got a bellyache.
Oh my goodness. That's fun.
But there were lots of kids around because our place actually opened onto the lane. So yeah, it was.
Yeah, you did a lot of street games and things after school, did you?
Three games after school. By the time I went to school, we were living here on 31st.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember walking to school, and at that time, I guess because people had coal and sawdust-burning furnaces,
mm-hmm.
and there was a lot more bush around, the fog would be so thick that you would hear cars go by, but all you would see would be their headlights, or you wouldn't be able to see your hand.
Really,
you don't get fogs like that anymore. I'm sure this isn't very useful to you, Peggy.
No, it is. I like this. No, every little, I hang on every word because, you know, we're taking little snippets from everybody's thing to illustrate a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't matter. And I like that story you had about the unexpected turkey dinner.
Oh.
At Christmas.
I think it was actually a ham. With the
it
dogs,
was a ham?
The dogs
yeah, okay. Then we better get more accurate. Yeah, ham.
I think it was a ham. I probably said turkey, but
it was a ham.
Yeah, the dogs brought home. Well, did Mom tell you the story about the dogs bringing the meat home every
day? There was something that it was a little bit, I didn't write it out very accurately, I don't think. So maybe you could tell me that one again so I'll make sure I get it right.
Well, my father was born on 33rd, and it was called something or other road at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Down across from, Memorial Park.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother would give a list. I guess she'd walk up to Dunbar and give a list of meat she wanted to the streetcar driver.
Okay.
And he'd go, on his way back, he'd pick up her order of meat. I guess he'd drop off the order and pick it up on the way back.
Mm-hmm.
From down on Hastings Street, I think it was.
Okay.
And at the scheduled time, whenever he came back later in the day, the two dogs would go and meet the streetcar,
okay.
And he'd give them the bundled up meat, and they'd take it home for her.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. So I guess stealing a ham just came by second nature.
That's right. They knew that there needed to be meat on the table. So it was the same dogs. What kind of dogs were they?
Big is all I remember.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this was long before my time.
Yeah. And so that's what I thought. When we have this picture that we have of Dunbar Street, and your family's house was on the left, wasn't it? And then
yeah, on the east side.
Yeah, on the east side. I've got it. Yeah. Somehow I thought it was on the west side, and I kept thinking, now what foundation? What? We dug up the library courtyard to in preparation for this planting that we made, the Dunbar Residents Association, and we came down to this cement wall under the sidewalk and wondered whose place that might have been. Do you know? Right across from McDermott's.
No. Where's that picture? Did you ask her?
Oh, I didn't ask her that, but she might. Can't get you while we can. So, what did you do in life? Did you graduate from high school?
Oh, I don't want to go into all that.
Oh, don't have to.
I graduated from Bing in 67. Went to UBC, failed gloriously. Didn't want to be there.
No.
Went up to the Caribou. I mean, I eventually got a degree.
Oh.
From Simon Fraser, but.
In what?
General studies, actually. I started out in biology and then got into other things. But you're not going to put that in there, are you?
No, no. No, it's not going to go in the book.
Okay.
What it does is give me a background in how people did things. I'm trying to find out how people were mentored, how they, you know, decided what they were going to do in life.
I was up in the Caribou for a while, and I commercial fished for 10 or 11 years.
Oh my goodness, that's something.
Yeah. Came back to Vancouver. I got a degree from Simon Fraser. I was driving handy art at the time.
Oh my goodness, see, you've done a lot of neat stuff.
Went to Europe for a while, came back, and right now I'm doing a program in for teaching English as a second language.
Oh, great.
Which I hope to go overseas with again.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great. Just great. Speaking of that, we have a mentoring program starting at Community Center, and looking for people who would be willing to teach English as a second language at the Community Center. So if you want to practice.
Is this a volunteer thing?
Yeah, it's a volunteer thing. One-on-one kind of thing, actually.
All right, yeah.
So
what kind of people are...
Well, the Rotary is sponsoring it, and we just had a workshop on it.
No, I'm just wondering, like, is it immigrants in the area sort of
thing? I think
so,
yeah, the local.
Apply there for teaching a course.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. Okay, the person did apply for teaching a course is one I often mistake for you when I see you. Angie Walkinshaw is her name. She's the one for teaching a course. She gets in charge of programming.
Oh, and what's her name?
Angie Walkinshaw.
Okay, I've heard Angie, so. Walkinshaw.
Right.
I'll suggest it to her.
And the mentoring with ESL is Beverly Chu. Her direct line is 222-6054.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Oh, this is interesting. See what happens when you get talking to people. So when you went to Europe, and tell me about your poetry writing. What inspired you to do that?
I think ever since I learned how to read and write, I've written. And poetry seems to be, I mean, I write other stuff, but poetry seems to be the closest to my heart.
That's great.
I published a little bit of stuff, but not here. Wanting to get a magazine going, or literary magazine going with a friend.
Oh,
and also
Henry. Yes, with Henry,
Starting up a writing group.
Oh, that would be so good. Good for him, too. He loves to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, interact with other people.
It's very nice man.
Yeah, he really is.
So you're involved in the music
Yes.
And you sing, play an instrument?
I play piano mostly, yeah. Yeah, I played for Judy when they first moved here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did a recital in the Vancouver Art Gallery. And
what kind of music?
She sings classical music. And she had a composer friend in the States who had written this very modern thing, and we had to prepare the piano by putting thumbtacks in it and things like this. And
wow.
I had to reach in and pluck the strings, and so it was really kind of fun.
I'll bet. Mm-hmm. Had you done that before?
No,
I mean, I've seen that done, and it can be amazing.
Yeah. No, I hadn't done it before. I did a lot of things when I first came to Vancouver.
Yeah. So where did you come from?
Well, I originally grew up in California, but I went to music school in Rochester, New York, at Eastman. And
wow.
I got a Master of Music in Los Angeles. And then I met my husband when I went back home without a job, and we moved to Nova Scotia for a year where I taught music in a university there.
Where in Nova Scotia?
Wolfville.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Very conservative.
Very conservative, yes. Oh dear, I felt very isolated. Then we
moved. Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful area. Yeah. Well, his parents were there, and he thought he was going to teach school, and then his colleagues he'd been meeting with in the summer in the Arctic said, you've got to go get a PhD. So we went to Duke University and he got his PhD there. And so then his first job was UBC in botany. So here we are.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, botany was an early love as well.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great.
What kind? What did he...
Mosses. He's interested in mosses. He's got a big herbarium out there, and he's even though he's retired, he goes out every day. So he's pretty active.
Yeah,
he'll be in Alaska in August, doing nunataks in the middle of the glacier. You know, there's things that stick up. See what the moss flora is. There's somebody in the States has some money for helicopters, so he's going.
Wow, well, you're not going to go?
No, I've got to do this history. It's a full-time job.
Yeah,
I bet. Oh, God, I didn't realize what I would do. Anyway, this is my first, crack at this kind of thing. But it's been so interesting. I'm finally getting a picture of the whole history. And your father's home on 33rd, I've been interviewing the Jinxes. Do you know the Jinxes?
No,
they grew up there. They were there from 1920 or something. They're in their 80s, and they
in that house? Or the one next door? Anyway,
very early on, they were there. And they knew all the people in the street and everything. And they could remember so many details. That was wonderful.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah,
it's a pity, really, that my father, wasn't around and able to speak.
Uh-huh.
For this.
Oh, it is a real pity. I've missed so many people.
Yeah. No, he would have been very interested, and I just didn't have the sort of relationship with him where I was going to write it down for him. So.
No.
That's too bad. Anyway, I don't really feel like I'm offering you very much.
Well, that's all right. It's a little bit, and, it doesn't matter if it's just a little bit. The picture is very important because, I told you about Jeff Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Did I going to pay for all our photographs?
Yeah, Mom said that. Mm-hmm. That's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And you want the one that's taken looking down Dunbar Street?
Yeah, I think it's probably clearer than the one he has. He thinks his is a copy of that one, so.
Right.
If you can find it again. There was a smaller one of it. Now that might be all right. About this size, I think.
Yeah. And maybe in here.
Brian might have done it even.
Okay.
You are really in pain.
Only when I moved.
Oh.
I vacuumed the basement on Monday and moved all the furniture around. And
all of a sudden
it went.
There. On the east side of Dunbar, the Pattersons own.
Oh, sorry, I've got both ears going here.
Okay.
One second, Mom.
The Pattersons own the property next door on the east side of Dunbar, 28th and 7th.
So when did the Pattersons own the property next to Grandpa's? They bought it from him? They bought it from Grandpa before the war. But he bought it in 1919 from a doctor. And then he sold part of it to the Pattersons before the war. Okay. And he built the duplex and they were living there. Okay. And that was that before he built the duplex or after? What about the Lavender's house then? That's not the one that was that he built. Okay. The duplex, they rented it out, or they rented it, okay. Did Peggy was wondering if Grandpa helped Jack Woods, was that right, build something, Peggy? Mm-hmm. Which one?
The castle houses, the houses that look like castles. I think I might have asked.
Oh, the houses that look like castles all around. Grandpa built those for Jack Woods, right?
He did?
Okay.
That's right.
So all those... 3200 block on 30 seconds. So all those ones with those little turrety-looking things, Grandpa built. So, and... That was Jack Woods' design. And Grandpa... Okay, Grandpa helped build them. And the house where, what was the name of the road that 33rd is now? It used to be something road. Bodwell Road. Oh. When the house where Dad was born, did Grandpa build that one? And is it the little wee one, or there's always two, I'm never sure which one it is. Is it the little tiny one, or is it the bigger one next door? Just never sure which of. No, do you? Yeah, I'll wait. Will you call me back? Call me back. Okay. Oh, well, that's easy. It's next door to Hilder's, and
oh,
so that tells. I think it's. Hilder that did alterations, and I went and got her to make me something once, so I think that's who she means. So it would be one house to the east of it.
Okay.
I'll go and look at it and just double check.
Okay. She's still there?
No, she's going to call back. She had to go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, it's Hilder's.
Oh. She might be, that's why I'm looking it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that tells, but she said the people that live in the original house added on to it.
Mm.
4070 West 33rd is Hilder.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it'll be one to the east of that, but I'll go check it.
Okay.
So what else did she say? Oh, what was there before the library? I didn't get as far as that one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I probably could figure it out because it was sold by Franklin Zahar's father. And Zahar's father was a builder too. He built a fancy house somewhere.
Is that right?
Yeah. I can't remember exactly where. A lot of contractors living around. It was the place to be, I guess. And they could afford it.
Right.
That time.
Well,
Well, since you're into this historical thing, we've got a couple of crosscut saws, you know, the big long ones with the handles. Do you know, can you think of anyone who would have an interest in them? Or?
Yes, I can. I can think of taking a picture of them and putting them in the book.
No, sure. Like
Terry Slack would have an interest because he's collecting antique tools and he's logged and fished in the area. He was a fisherman. And,
why do we know that name, Terry Slack?
Well, he's leading historic boat tours. He leads all the tours in Salisbury Days.
All right.
Into the woods and down by the river.
So he's interested in antique tools? Mm-hmm. What does he do with them?
Well, he stores them right now, but if we ever get a historical society together and get a place to put them, you know, that would be nice.
Yeah, because I've got actually some wonderful old tools. I mean, you know, 100-year-old tools, I'm sure.
See them. He would go absolutely nuts. You know, seeing them.
Really?
He loves tools. I do too. I love tools.
I can bring a couple upstairs.
Oh, okay. Oh, are you sure you want to?
Yes. Getting up and sitting down.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm fine.
Okay. Alrighty.
$2 or $3.
Oh, for goodness sake. Yeah. House plans.
House plans.
Now that would be very interesting.
Well, it doesn't have the plan. It's a book on staircase building.
Oh.
But yeah.
Hold on. Is it real old or?
Pretty old.
Okay. Well, our architecture person might be interested. Really.